about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. We need an update for when the movie comes out on DVD.
That is amazing.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Speaking of guitar, you know, you had, you know, one of your biggest hits that we play on, the name escapes me. What's it like? Sorry. What it's like.
You are a murderer of love.
Unbelievable.
Why do you talk that way?
He is a mean, he's a racist, and he's very, very, very devilish.
And now,
a live broadcast in my pants.
Our feature presentation.
Funny you would play that. As I was driving in this morning, I thought, we can't let that Omar tape drop. We got to keep that alive because
it's strong.
Just strong.
It is, it's beer mug bad. I mean, that's how bad it is. And I don't use, that's not a term I throw around lightly. You know, that's like, you don't pull out Hitler unless you're comparing it to something really, really awful.
I don't know.
It's beer mug bad.
I think it's closer to Kevin bad.
What?
I don't say that with pride, but
I think it's way past Kevin bad and into beer mug.
Oh, I didn't know you were placing beer mug past me. All right, good.
Oh, yeah.
All right, good.
Oh, yeah. You're the consummate professional compared to mug.
Excellent.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not going to argue that.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, but I'm not going to argue that.
Speaking of beer mug, I spent all weekend helping mugs move, of course. You know, I'm the guy who's there to lift heavy boxes when needed.
It's funny because not only are you not here, no one would call you to help them move.
How dare you?
Because they've got the pencils handled.
I'm a big strapping man.
Sure.
Are you kidding me? Mugs, did you find friends to help you move, or was it just you and your new roommate?
Yeah, I had the Mugs crew help me out. I had about four guys.
I have to give Mugs all the credit in the world, though, for not even attempting to float last week during the Kevin and Bean show. Hey, anyone around on Sunday?
Yeah, well, he knows. Yeah.
That shows a real understanding of how, you know, that's an unacceptable question to ask in the 21st century is for somebody to help move. That's gone. That's over.
It really is. And even for, I don't know, I don't know, best friends, but maybe best friends even as well.
Yeah.
Because even if they say yes, you know they're miserable and they don't want it.
Right. It was awesome. One of my buddies, Randy, he said, I asked him and he's like, yeah, I'll do that unless anything else extravagant comes up.
Extravagant. Yeah. Like a TV show. Like if the TV's working, that's extravagant.
I think the rule of thumb is you no longer ask for help to move. Maybe you ask for help to move a body, but that's about it. Not just to move furniture.
I'd help him move a body.
Yeah, because
right.
that's
exciting. It's a good story.
And that's serious.
It's serious, yeah.
Too. Yeah. I mean, that's when you really need your friends around you is when you got a body to move.
Right.
So,
and
Bing anyway,
knows that from experience.
Yeah.
Speaking of Las Vegas.
What?
I was in Las Vegas over the weekend. Of course, I went to see the Chief.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be when I went to Las Vegas, every single time I went there, a couple
hookers
times a year,
blow?
three times a year, whatever it was.
Nonstop hookers and blow.
You'd see new buildings on the horizon. Las Vegas was one of those towns. The skyline changed every time you visited. Construction was happening so fast. And, of course, that's not the case anymore. Nevada is the hardest hit state in the union in terms of what's going on with the economy, in terms of people being laid off. And the reason I bring this up is that somebody has found an opportunity to make money on this. There's a place just off the Las Vegas Strip where they were going to open the Fontainebleau Hotel and also a hotel called Echelon. And, of course, they're not opening any hotels and casinos anymore. There's not a single one opening in 2011.
Wow, really?
And you remember what Las Vegas used to be like,
yeah.
Right? It used to be grand openings. It seemed like every month. So this guy has created a business, and Kevin, you might actually like this, where you can go and play with construction equipment. You can be the guy who runs the excavators or the bulldozers. You pay your money and you go out there over this huge construction site and you pick up boulders and you drive it. You pick up dirt. You make mountains. And it's like we used to do when you were a little kid, when you would play with the toys, the construction toys. But you can do it for reals.
I wouldn't mind doing the teardown. I like that. That looks fun. Or the planting of the explosives underneath the building. But I don't want any cleanup duty. You know, I picked up enough rocks in my life.
But you're not, I mean, but have you picked up enough rocks with a bulldozer,
well,
or with an excavator? I can't say that word.
I don't even know that word.
Excavator, yeah. Yes.
Have I picked up enough rocks with an excavator? I wasn't expecting that question today, so let me give that some
thought. Most people have never been able to be in the seat and actually run one of these huge multi-ton heavy equipment. This is for people who want to get behind and actually do the heavy equipment stuff, and people are going crazy for it. It's a big hit.
I'm guessing that people aren't going crazy for it.
You take a 10-minute classroom lesson, you get guidance from trainers through headsets, and then they set you out there, and people are saying they're just they're having a blast. You forget about the stresses in your life because you're focusing on this equipment. You rev up that big engine, you realize you got a serious piece of equipment under you.
Huh.
So anyway, that's a new thing. It's called Dig This, if anyone's interested, if they're going to Las Vegas, and they are more excited than Kevin and would like to play with heavy equipment. Dig This is what it's called.
I got every equipment. I got to play with every day. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? You feel me. What time did you get to Vegas on Friday?
Well, I know y'all were hoping it would be after midnight because of the fire that was in the Cajon Pass that we knew would slow down my drive. But I drove from Palm Springs to Las Vegas, and I guess you asked me to take a note of the time when I passed the Welcome to Fabulous Las Vegas
yes.
sign, right?
At what time did you leave, first of all? Because people need to know. This is a Friday afternoon of Labor Day, at the beginning of a Labor Day weekend, right. Which, you know, it's usually extra, extra traffic.
With a freeway closed or partially closed due to a fire.
Yeah,
right.
There's that.
I left at 4:50.
Oh, that's pretty. That's soon. That's sooner than I thought. All right.
Is what time I left on Friday afternoon from Palm Springs.
All right.
And I drove by the Fabulous Las Vegas sign at 9:22.
What?
9:22.
That means that Lisa, who guessed 10 o'clock.
How about that?
She had the earliest time.
Well done, Lisa.
Oh, that's not right.
Impressive.
Are there credits?
With the fire and everything.
Yes, there are credits, yeah.
Well, sweet. The 50
we
going...
We don't pay Lisa when there's credits. You know that.
I didn't know that.
That's just been the case.
Oh.
The 15 southbound was completely closed by the fire, and yeah. I don't know what was going to happen to those cars. The backup was at least 10 miles of cars just sitting. On the 15 south.
I thought it was both ways. Okay.
And it had been closed. The 15 north had been closed, but I Googled it before I left, and they had lanes open. They still had the left lane closed, so it was still a crawl. I mean, it took me over an hour to get through the that area and get past the fire. But the firefighters, man, I felt bad for those guys who were out there. You know, it was 110 degrees outside, and they're wearing their big, heavy firefighter equipment.
Yeah.
And they got, you know, their hoses and their equipment and everything. They're climbing up that mountain through the brush to try to stop the fire. I mean, it was that's a crazy bad job, but thank God they do it. But, yeah, it was real, real slow getting in through, you know, right ahead of Victorville. But then it was smooth sailing after that.
We had like six of us, and we were all betting, and Lisa picked 10, and I picked, I think, 11:30 or something like that. And that was the whole group was right in between there.
9:22, so I got into Las Vegas, got to my dad's house by a quarter to 10.
Come on. I was factoring in the old lady driving, too.
Which she made up somehow. I don't know why.
I didn't make it up. Lightning made it up. But it's funny to hear him tell being in the car with Bean, because he's like, he drives like 5 miles an hour. I don't know what's going on. So I was expecting that to kick in.
Yeah.
Right lane, maybe.
I fly, man.
42, 43 miles an hour the whole way.
Shoot. Going, woo!
I go as fast as I can and not get caught. That's my motto.
That has always been your motto. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Oh, that's such a big liar.
What we were doing on Friday was the Bush Bash. We've got some highlights of that coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean show.
Those guys are pretty good, by the way.
Yes, they are. It's good to have them back, too. Nicest guys in the world.
Absolutely.
Harvey Levin will be on today's Kevin and Bean show.
Okay.
We have comedian Nick Swarsden coming into the studio. He is a funny dude and is in some wacky, wacky movies. I'll tell you that. Adam Carolla. This Week in Rage, on today's program. We have a new feature today called Dr. Ozzy. I don't know if you've seen this in the news, but Ozzy Osbourne apparently is going to start doing a TV show, is it, Bean?
I think it's a Vice column in like the newspaper or magazines or something like that where you send in a letter, I think. I haven't read the material in a while, but I think he will answer your medical questions, if you can believe it.
I mean, really, that's what you think. Like, if I could just get to Ozzy, I would have this information. I wouldn't have to go to the emergency room or whatever. So thank God for that. George Lucas is a giant a-hole. We're going to talk about that.
That is actually true.
Now, I don't really care much, but I do care about the passion that people feel about this, and they do seem to be ready to string him up.
Yes.
He won't stop screwing with his movies before he releases them in every new format, I'll tell you that. They're not done. He says, hey, the original Star Wars movies, those were first draft. I'm just editing and refining as I go.
That's what he does. So they put it out on Blu-ray, and it's a completely – there's like a new scene added or new language or whatever, dialogue. And he's got the nerds up in arms. They're very upset about this. And I can sort of understand it. I mean, if I had to come down on the side, if I cared, if I did care, I think I would come down on the side of the people who watched it 50 times and expected
to be the
same.
Well, they paid
their
money, right, and loved it with all their heart.
Right. So maybe leave it alone. Yeah. But anyway, we'll talk about that coming up as well. We'll take a quick break, and we will come back with a Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R.
Come on.
I'm going to put on microphone.
It's 552.
This is the Kevin Devine Show on a Tuesday. Ralph, that was some serious air drumming you were doing during the Queens of the Stone Age right there. You know, we're only...
wake up, that's all.
We're a little over 3 weeks away from the start of October, so I'm glad you're getting your skills back.
Melfon!
Because it's going to be happening. Melfon makes its first appearance. Now, is it October 1st or is it the first Friday of the week once October begins?
I don't know. I got to check the rules.
It's first
I
Friday.
I had to talk to the commissioner.
Last year, I think we had a big, it was a big uproar, but I think we finally decided on the first Friday.
Yeah. First Friday. All right. So Ralph will be back behind the skins like he should be. So that's coming up. Welcome to the Kevin Devine Show. Robots are taking over the world. We'll tell you about it right after the top of the hour. Now, Ralph is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Before I get to Showbiz news, I do have some passes to give away to another Kevin and Bean advanced screening of a movie that people are waiting to see. It's called Drive.
Oh, yay! This looks so good.
It does look good.
Fascinating concept for a movie. Hollywood stunt driver moonlights as a wheelman for heists. And then he discovers a contract's been put out on him after one of his capers goes wrong. Ryan Gosling stars in the film. Carey Mulligan's his co-star, along with Bryan Cranston and Ron Perlman. And Christina Hendricks from Mad Men, also in this movie.
What a cast.
Great cast. It's in theaters everywhere Friday, September the 16th. However, if you are one of the lucky, let's say, first two callers right now at 1-800-520-1067, first two callers, we'll get a pair of passes for the screening on Thursday, September the 15th, at the beautiful Arclight Theater in Hollywood. So if you'd like to attend, please call now, 1-800-520-1067. While we're talking about movies, Labor Day weekend, traditionally a pretty big weekend for the movies, and was not the case this particular weekend. Not a lot of people went to the movies, but those that did, the majority of them went to see The Help again. Number one again this weekend.
Jeez. People like 3 weeks in a row or something?
People like watching The Help.
They sure do. So far, that movie has made over $100 million in 4 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
That has to be the biggest surprise of the world.
Oh, absolutely. Of the world? In history? I don't know about that. There have been other big surprises, okay. I think, but certainly...
Pearl Harbor comes to mind. Maybe it's a bigger one.
That's what I'm saying.
The Help was not expected to do as well as that, and it's the budget for the film was $25 million, by the way. So
wow.
They've already made their money back. And then some. $18 million made it number one at the box office this weekend. The Debt, the movie with Helen Mirren, where she's hunting Nazis. $12 million in its debut.
I saw that. I like that.
There you go, Kevin. Look at
slow,
you.
But I saw it.
Look at you seeing a movie that's kind of thoughtful and historical and whatnot.
It's also about spies, so that's my thing.
Must have been a lot of words to listen to.
There were a lot of words. There's Helen Mirren, but there's old Helen Mirren, but whoever played young Helen Mirren, that's a girl that I want to watch a lot of.
Apollo 18 was third at the box office with $11 million. Shark Knight 3D in its debut made $10.5 million. Good enough to make it number four. Then Rise of the Planet of the Apes at number five, Columbiana, Our Idiot Brother, Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, Spy Kids 4D, and The Smurfs rounding out your four-day total. Top 10. While we're talking about movies, Sylvester Stallone has announced...
Yes.
...that he realizes he's made a few stinkers in his career. He's coming clean. Said some of my films have been disappointments. But those days are behind me, he says... He no longer thinks of movie making as a job. He doesn't need the money, so he won't do any more films for the money. He will only sign on to a movie he feels true passion for.
When you're pushed, killing's as easy as breathing.
So his next film, he said, Tango and Cash 2. So,
no!
feels passionately about that one.
That's not the one where he was a... That's not the one where he was a country singer, is it?
No, it's Rhinestone.
Oh, Rhinestone.
No, Tango and Cash was him and Kurt Russell as mixed-matched detectives.
I'm not sure I saw that.
Oh, one. You never seen Tango Cash?
I don't think so.
Oh, you would love Tango Cash. It's horrible, but it's...
And it's just, horrible. It's okay.
But they have like a super-powered monster truck that they drive, got guns mounted on the sides, and everything shoots rockets. It's awesome.
All right.
But Sylvester Stallone plays the guy who's like in the Armani suits and everything. He plays against type. He plays a very sort of erudite police cop, and Kurt Russell's sort of the sloppy macho one.
Sure.
Tango and Cash.
Was he also a... What's the one about the babysitter being dead or something? Was he in that, too?
What?
I don't think so.
Sylvester Stallone.
Speed Bump?
We're thinking about terrible Sylvester Stallone movies.
Babysitter's Dead.
Didn't he have one? Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. Wasn't he in that too?
No, Christina Applegate.
I get wrong with you. All the time.
That movie existed, but I don't think...
Christina Applegate starred in it.
I always get those two confused.
Was anywhere near it.
Stop or My Mom Will Shoot. That's the movie I'm trying to think of.
All right.
You can see how I got those two confused.
Thanks for your help.
Very similar
Thanks for your help, as always.
What about the arm wrestling one?
Over the top.
Yes, thank you.
Back to you, Rob.
You guys know we're still in the air, right?
Right, we're naming missteps in Stallone's career.
You guys
career.
Know
this
we're still in the air,
of,
right?
This is not out of line.
Steven Soderbergh, while we're talking movie makers, announced he was going to retire from directing movies to become a painter. Over the weekend, his movie Contagion was premiered at the Venice Film Festival, and he recanted slightly, saying that the painting thing is just going to be a sabbatical, just going to be an interlude where he paints, and then he probably will come back and direct again someday. So
that's good.
He's not officially out of the movie-making business.
And I think the same thing's going to happen to your friend Kevin Smith. As much as he's talking about making one more movie, I don't think he's going to be able to keep away.
I would beg to differ, but you probably know him better than I do, because you're the one working with him all the time.
Let's kill Bean!
Tell Mom the Babysitter is dead. What about Adventures in Babysitting? What about that Smurfs? Wasn't he in that one? What's a nigga?
Come on.
And played Smurfs together.
The Babysitter movie has a very similar title to The Stop or My Mom Will Shoot. You can see how I could get those confused on the fly. That's all. I wasn't insane.
What about that Lombada movie? Was he in that, too? The Forbidden Dance?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Legendary comedian, actor, and TV star Bob Newhart is 82 years old today. Pink Floyd's Roger Waters is 68. Michael Keaton. And Batman. He's 60 years old today. Dweezil Zappa's 42. Brad Wilk of Rage Against the Machine celebrates his 43rd birthday. Actress and bitch Rose McGowan is 38 years old.
Pippa
Middleton celebrates her 28th birthday. And Katrina Graham, who is from The Vampire Diaries, she's 25 years old today. Katerina Graham, rather. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Adam Carolla joins us later today on The Kevin and Bean Show. This week in Rage, also comedian actor Nick Swardson will be here. I was a little bit surprised to see that Ozzy Osbourne has had an advice column for medical issues for the past couple of years. It just doesn't seem like he's the guy you'd go to if you've got, you know, discoloration in your foot or something. Why would you write to Ozzy? He's not a doctor, right?
No, but he's probably seen it all.
Wash your socks.
Oh, Ozzy. Yeah. Hi,
if you
Ozzy.
Have discoloration in your foot. It might just be a socks and dirty.
Well, see, that's the kind of advice I don't want. That's why I would go to an actual doctor. But, Ozzy, apparently you have compiled many of your columns from the past couple of years from the newspapers and magazines, and you put out a book called Trust Me, I'm Dr. Ozzy. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I've been alive for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people said that someone probably wouldn't be alive.
Right.
But look at all the living I've done.
Right.
So, who better to tell you how to stay alive than the guys who've been alive?
Now, you take reader submissions.
That's true.
You take submissions from readers.
I'm still alive!
You take submissions from readers, and they ask you lifestyle questions and medical questions.
I do say submissions for leaders.
What?
I do say...
From readers.
Yes.
Readers.
And they ask me questions about staying alive and about medical things. And I tell them how to do it.
Okay. Right. And part of it, I mean, part of the reason you're the guy is that there have been many times in your life where we thought you were going to die either from drug overdoses or from turning over that all-terrain vehicle where you got trapped beneath that.
Yeah.
I mean, you've had some close calls,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that time I broke my clavicle.
Right. Yeah.
That hurts.
Sure. I'm sure it does.
Don't do that. One of my pieces of advice.
Is that a chapter
from
in your book?
Dr. Ozzy, don't break your clavicle.
Okay.
Right.
Hurts.
Yes.
Did you ever catch any diseases from any of the birds whose heads
all
you?
The diseases.
Well, I was thinking about those birds that you rip their heads off. Though, do you ever get any rabies or anything like that from them? Or
I used to bang the birds. I never ripped their heads off.
No. That you're thinking of birds as that you're talking about girls.
Yes.
We're talking about
what
actual
are you talking
like
about.
your fine feathered friends. We're talking about actual birds like the bat and the dove and the other things
no,
that you've eaten.
No, never got any diseases from those birds, no.
Okay.
But the other birds, I got everything.
Everything.
I caught leukemia once from a girl.
What are you talking about?
I don't think
about?
It doesn't work like
was
that,
out of crabs, I forget. One or the other. I get so confused.
All right, so the book is out called Trust Me, I'm Ozzy. It has material from the columns of the past, survival stories, answers to celebrities' medical questions, charts, sidebars. It's 100% Ozzy, and it's in stores actually next month. October 11th is when it comes out. Would you be willing to take some questions maybe from the Kevin and Bean listeners, Dr. Ozzy?
No.
All right, well, thank you for stopping by.
Thank you.
Enjoyed very much talking to you.
That'll shorten this by a lot.
Sharon, I'm going to take questions from the listeners.
She told us that you would.
Oh, all right, then. I'll
do it. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. If you have some type of question for Dr. Ozzy.
Medical question.
Medical question especially.
Yeah,
sure.
If you have a problem, I'll cure it.
I don't think you can
with
cure
cocaine.
It. I'm not sure that's the answer to everything.
That cures everything.
You can call and you can ask Dr. Ozzy your question, then Dr. Ozzy will give you his medical opinion, which is apparently to be trusted.
Will fix your problem.
Well, I mean, if they put it in a book, you must be good. I mean, they wouldn't put it in a book.
If you have a problem, call and I'll tell you to fix it, and then you'll be healthy.
So any kind of medical issue, if somebody's
anything,
got an ache or a pain?
Pains, aches. Pakes, Ains, all of them. Anything you've got, I'll fix it. And then you call back and you say, oh, Dr. Rose, you fixed my pain. How can I ever repay him? And I'll say, send me cash.
Oh, all right. Drug-related issues, I'm sure you've dealt.
Especially drug-related
issues.
You've
dealt with all of those.
You want to know where to get drugs?
No,
I have a guy.
No, I don't think that's... We're not looking for that kind of question.
If you want to know how to get off drugs... I can't help you, though.
You can't help, right? All right, 1-800-520-1067.
Sharon!
Why do you
give me out the phone number!
Why do you have to tell her that?
Because she's interested.
Okay. She's listening in the other room. It's okay. She can hear this.
What?
She can hear this.
Yeah. I can't hear it.
1-800-520-1067 is the number you call right now, and we will put you on with Dr. Ozzy.
I thought Ozzy died during the song there. I looked over for a minute. I thought the poor guy wasn't breathing. You feeling okay, Ozman?
No, I was just taking a cat nap.
I hope so.
It was very early in the morning for me.
It is.
Up.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
I usually don't get up until this noon.
Noon, right. It's scary when old people sleep because you do feel like they're dead. If you're just joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, it's Dr. Ozzy taking your telephone calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you have any medical issues at all, apparently there's nothing you haven't experienced or don't have the answer to, right?
I've lived and I've been with the same that I wasn't supposed to live. And yet I did, so I survived.
But do you remember a lot of those instances, how you got
through
it?
Of course I do. My memory is... Is it my...
Huh?
What were you asking? What was the question?
It is time to ask Dr. Ozzy. If you're feeling sick, ask Dr. Ozzy. If you feel like, ask Dr. Ozzy. It is time to ask Dr. Ozzy now.
There's something wrong with that gentleman who made that song. I have to get a stat. Have to get him to a hospital.
Would you like to? What's your initial reaction to that guy that made that particular?
He's
song?
Got a horrible case of douchebagitis.
Yeah, well, he that could is be accurate. Right. Yeah.
Let's go to John. He's on line two. Trust me, I'm Dr. Ozzy is the name of the book coming out next month. If you have medical questions for Ozzy, 1-800-520-1067.
Hi, John.
You're on the air. Go ahead. Hello,
We're having a phone call.
Phone trouble here. John just dropped. I had him on.
Why don't you guys have an audience? Why does no one listen to your show?
We've asked that for a long
time. Why am I on this show? I should be on Seacrest.
We've got people
listening to him.
Let's ask. Let's go to the next one. Let's go to Dave. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Dr. Ozzy. What's going on, guys?
Is this Dave, King of Mexico?
Sharper than I am at this time of the morning.
Yeah, I can tell by the way all the vowels have screwed up.
Ask Dr. Ozzy.
You have a question?
Yeah, I got my problem with my penis. I have all this extra skin on
it.
What do they do to get rid of it?
Whoa!
I would suggest you take two Viagra and call me an orange.
Well,
maybe the problem will retreat then. It will attract the problem that you have.
Dr. Ozzy, I think Dave has a lack of circumcision is what he's referring to. I believe
who's
that's
the doctor
what,
here?
That's a well, good question. He wasn't asking you, Bean.
I just ask a DJ. Ask a doctor.
Ask Dr. Ozzy. I'm just saying I don't think Viagra is going to help that, but I guess
if
you would know better than I would.
If Viagra, that skin will disappear, I promise you.
Right?
Yeah.
Temporarily, yeah, that's true.
Oh, well.
Are you all right?
Ask Dr. Ozzy. Hey, party people. It is Tuesday, although it feels like a Monday. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Friday, we were in beautiful Palm Springs with the band Bush. They are back. They got a new record coming out next Tuesday. They sound terrific. And we're going to have some performances from that coming up later on today's show. Interview and performance from the band Bush. If you could not be there in person, you'll definitely want to stick around and hear some of that on the way later on today's program.
Kevin, nicest guy in the world. And
sure is.
And Galvin. We went up to his
Galvin is the name.
Went up to his dressing room beforehand, and he pulls his shirt off and just to show off.
I'm
just trying to figure out what shirt I'm going to wear.
Yeah.
And I'm no Mo, but.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
I think I speak for Bean when I say he made our butts hungry.
Did you make sweet love?
It was fairly ridiculous to see how cut his body was. I mean, you see people who are in pretty good shape. He was so far beyond that. It was like looking at a statue. It was kind of humbling, to be honest.
I imagine.
All right. It really was.
Okay. All right, buddy.
What?
It was like looking at a statue.
But I mean, I'm looking for an accurate way to describe somebody who is cut like that. I mean, it just didn't look real. It was very troubling, I must be honest. All right. Anyway, Bush Bash later on today on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph is here with the showbiz. Pete, what's going on?
He was like he was carved from marble. I'm Bean.
It does feel like a Monday, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
So let's treat it as such and talk about the big winners at the box office over the four-day holiday weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. The Help came in at number one yet again over the long holiday weekend. $18 million made it number one. Then The Debt with Helen Mirren was right behind it with $12 million, made it number two. Apollo 18 was third. Shark Knight 3D in its debut came in at four, and then Rise of the Planet of the Apes was fifth. Columbiana, Our Idiot Brother, Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, Spy Kids 4D, and The Smurfs rounding out the top 10 at the box office. It is a Labor Day tradition, the Muscular Dystrophy Telethon. This year, however, it was less of a telethon and more of just a long show. 6.5 hours as opposed to the 21.5 it usually runs.
Wow.
First time ever they've cut it down to a mere 6 hours.
Is it worth doing? I mean, why don't they just cancel it?
Well, apparently it is worth doing because they raised $61.5 million this year.
Wow.
Now, majority of that is from corporate donations and that kind of stuff. But still, that's 2.6 million more than they made last year with a 21.5-hour show. Yeah.
Huh. So. I will tell you, I wasn't surprised to see this, Ralph, because at least, in my city, Seattle, they haven't. It's been years since they've aired anywhere near the 21 hours of it. I mean, they have been
cutting
down.
Because your city hates crippled kids? Is that why?
No.
Because it hates
saying,
children in wheelchairs?
I'm just
nice
saying.
I'm
saying around the country, I'm sure other television stations were making the decision to not carry the whole thing anyway. It seemed like the show had already been getting shorter and shorter in terms of how much was televised. So I'm not surprised that they eventually decided not to put their resources into those hours that not many people are seeing.
I'm just saying Seattle is pro-disease. That's all I'm saying. That's the city you live in.
That's science.
Yeah, they love disease up there. Ooh, bring up more. Ooh, more muscle-wasting syndromes, please.
2 more million than last year with the 21-hour? They should cut it every year and just keep skyrocketing.
They should make it like a commercial break, just like 30 seconds in the middle of some of the show that people really want to see. Jerry Lewis did not show up at the telethon, however.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought the whole thing was they wanted to kick
him
out.
He was going to force his way in. They said he was coming back, and he did not make an appearance at this year's telethon. I guess that tradition is also over. Although,
did they have a tribute at all? Or
all the other co-hosts just couldn't stop talking about him.
Sure.
What a generous example that was set by Jerry Lewis. Jerry Lewis is the best. No one will ever be able to replace Jerry, said the woman who replaced Jerry as the host. That was pretty funny. Nigel Lithgow and Allison Sweeney, who were the hosts, said he'll never be able to be replaced, and they were replacing him. Nancy O'Dell of Entertainment Tonight was there, and it just sounds horrible.
Now, they said he might come out at the end. There was a rumor that he might come out to sing that song, You'll Never Walk Alone.
Oh, what a terrible version of that song.
Which is awesome.
Oh, and by
the
awesome.
The best ever.
Right, and by awesome you mean?
Greatest.
Comic.
No! It's so full of emotion and power, Kevin.
I agree with Ralph. Jerry Lewis is not a great singer, but he meant it. I mean, that song really means something to him, and he really is singing it, thinking about those little kids who, you know, who can't walk. I mean, I thought it was a powerful moment.
When you walk through a storm, held your head up high.
He's not in a rush to get through it.
He's not in a rush. The band leader reported, though, on Friday, they came up to him and said, yeah, Jerry won't be doing that song, so no need to rehearse that number.
Is that right?
Yeah, so they knew early on this weekend that he would not be appearing.
That's bullshit.
Poor Jerry.
So he doesn't care about the kids in wheelchairs.
Apparently not. He should move to Seattle.
He might as well move to jail.
Because that's where everyone lives who hates children who are handicapped. It's a perfect place for Bean, really, when you think
that's
about
true.
It. Sandra O's got some problems, and I'm not just talking about her face this time. She had to go to the IRS because they say she owes money on taxes, rather, on some money that she made. It turns out, however, that it wasn't Sandra Oh that made the money. Someone stole her identity.
How about that?
Wait, and made money?
Yeah, a woman got a job as a maid in a hotel back in 2009 using her Social Security number as ID. So they had a Sandra Oh working at that hotel, changing sheets and scrubbing toilets. Now, keep in mind, Sandra Oh was on Grey's Anatomy back in 2009. She said, the odds of me taking a side job as a maid at a hotel are slim. So she had to go file a report with the LAPD and the FBI and the IRS. And now they put it all together. And apparently she will not be held responsible for the taxes on that money.
The FBI!
Damn it, I knew that was
coming. Is this the first time somebody's ever stolen an identity so that they could go work?
No, a lot of illegal aliens.
Happens all the time.
Does
yeah.
it?
Steal identities so that they can get jobs. Some I mean, you know, there's a lot of jobs you actually need to prove citizenship in order to get hired, and the hotel industry is certainly one of them, so a lot of happens very often.
Hey, she's just lucky she didn't get sexually assaulted by that French dude.
Is that a Grey's Anatomy joke?
No. There was
not even a Grey's Anatomy joke?
No, there was a guy in New York who was accused of sexually assaulting a maid, remember? And then they found he was not guilty. And,
yes. That was rich. File.
The birthdays I announced last hour?
Yes.
We're incorrect.
All right.
None of them were right?
We are firing on all cylinders today.
Dave the King of Mexico gave me the list for yesterday's birthdays as opposed to today's.
Wait a minute. So, you're saying that it's his fault?
I'm saying it is his fault in this particular case. Now, usually it's not his fault, as he's
not my fault.
Apt to remind us on a regular basis, but in this particular case...
It's still not his fault.
Oh, Ralph, you're going to be angry with me.
What,
Dave? The birthdays I gave you, they're not so much for today, but yesterday.
He was just trying to make sure everybody didn't miss yesterday's
He actually
birthdays.
Said, why can't we give some love to people at birthdays on Labor Day? So we did that. Now let's give you the real birthdays.
How about today's?
Comedian Jeff Foxworthy celebrates his birthday today.
Thank goodness we didn't miss that.
Thank right. That's right, Lisa.
Is he the redneck
if
dude?
If your birthday celebrated on the radio, there's an excellent chance... You might be a redneck. He's 53 years old today. Michael Winslow, one of my personal heroes from Police Academy, is 53 years old today. He's the dude who makes all those noises with his mouth.
Yeah, all sound effect guy.
He's awesome.
Oh, yeah, he is good.
Yeah. Rosie Perez, actress, is 47 years old today. Macy Gray is 41 years old. Dolores O'Riordan. Remember her? She was the lead singer for the Cranberries.
Zombie,
sang like that a lot. She's 40 years old. Foxy Brown, the rapper, is 33 years old today. Cisco Adler celebrates 33. Now, you know what I think? I'm going to think of Cisco Adler now.
Yeah.
Everybody does, right?
Mm-hmm.
That picture we all saw.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Big ones.
Hanging low.
33 years old today. And Dave's happy to report that Pippa Middleton is 28 today.
Oh,
so that still counts. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
First, it's time for...
George Lucas raped a childhood. George Lucas raped a childhood. George Lucas raped a childhood.
That's actually true. You're with me, right, Ralph? George
yes.
Lucas raped our childhood.
Yes, because he can. Because he has all the money and all the power. So he just does whatever he wants. He just keeps effing with these movies.
Star Wars 4, 5, and 6.
Wow.
Right. Were considered masterpieces, all three, right?
No.
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 1 and 2.
No.
Two.
Really?
The first.
Just two.
The first one was a fine movie
Turn
that captured people's imaginations. And then Empire Strikes Back is really thought of as a great film.
Okay.
And then Return of the Jedi, again, not so much. They did capture a generation's spirit and emotions with those films.
Right.
They were good films. The second one was great. The other two were good. The first one was good. Third one, it was okay. But still, the world that he created became very important to a lot of people.
No matter which order you preferred the movies, or no matter how much you liked or loved the Star Wars movies, they were what they were, and they were the movies that everybody went to see in the theaters, the movies that we saw for years and years after that on television, and they were the way we remembered them. Until George Lucas started monkeying around with them again when it came time to release them on DVD a few years ago.
Yeah,
and then he said, well, technology has changed, so I'm going to go in and make some improvements with that.
Right.
And then he said, while I'm in there, why don't I add some scenes and change some dialogue and cut some stuff out and put some new stuff in and F everybody's childhood.
Right.
And that's essentially what it did. So we all survived that. And don't get us started on the other movies, the last three movies. But we all survived that. And now they're coming out on Blu-ray next Tuesday. And wouldn't you know, he's doing it again. He's going in and he's changing even more scenes from the original Star Wars movies.
Now, what is this particular one?
Where
they added the dialogue.
Legendarily, when he changed the films for the DVD initially, he changed really more than just... See, it's different than just cleaning it up and digitally altering it and making it look better. For instance, when Han Solo is across the table from Greedo, famously, he kills the guy because he's threatening him. Then Lucas went in and changed it and made Greedo shoot first, so Han Solo was defending himself. So he's shooting back in self-defense.
Really?
Changes the core of the character, who he is. He's supposed to be sort of like a bad guy, outlaw space pirate at the beginning of that film, and then he becomes a better person towards the
end. That's lame.
Completely altered that forever.
And what's the mindset? What do you think Lucas's mindset is? It's just something that has always bugged him, or he didn't like the way it made him feel years later. Hey, I shouldn't have done it that way, so I have the opportunity to go back and change it, and I will?
A lot of his movement has been towards making the series more kid-friendly over the years. That seems to be the thrust more than anything else.
So that would you know, make sense.
Right, makes him a nicer guy if he's defending himself rather than shooting first, in other words. Now, in the Blu-ray version, the complete saga they're releasing on the Blu-ray, there's a scene, well, two big changes everyone's talking about. One is they're taking Puppet Yoda out of Phantom Menace, the first of the sequel films. Technically the first of the series because...
But fourth in release date.
Exactly.
Okay.
They're taking Puppet Yoda out of that and putting a CGI Yoda in, like they used in the last two films, to, I guess, make more consistent the visuals and to improve the visuals because the puppet doesn't look so great in Phantom.
If you want to see this, you can go to kevinandme.com. Bean put up a post that has the video side by side, and you can see Puppet Yoda with CGI Yoda. I got to tell you, Puppet Yoda looks pretty crappy.
Well, a lot of people say he looks bad because he is up against all CGI in that film. All the backgrounds in that film, everything Lucas did with a green screen, it's all CGI. So if you put a puppet in front of that versus a puppet being in a physical set, it looks much more...
Well, I guess that makes sense.
It looks better. It looks more in place than it does.
But
the
he
other
didn't
way.
Change any dialogue in that scene.
Not in that scene.
Okay.
No.
Now, let me stop you right there, Ralph. Does that bother you that he upgrades the digital effects where they are? The improvements can now be made in the 21st century.
That doesn't bother me nearly as much as when he starts changing plots and dialogue.
Either. Yeah. I mean,
I would get bothered if he started changing Puppet Yoda from the original three films. If he went back to Jedi and Empire and started putting the CGI Yoda into those scenes, that would bug me.
And some of the stuff is so weird, like the Ewoks blink now, for instance.
Yes.
I mean, just like who has the time to go back and go, hey, remember Return of the Jedi where we had the Ewoks? Let's make them blink more.
Yeah.
I mean, who has the time to go back and fuss with that
Ewoks
stuff?
Ewoks don't have to blink because they're fictional characters. So maybe they're a race of creatures that don't blink. We can accept that, George. We don't need you to know if I'm making blinking Ewoks. So we're all watching them going, oh, wow, look at them. They can blink now. Stop monkeying with this stuff.
So what about the key scene in The Empire Strikes Back where Darth Vader, and by the way, spoiler alert if anyone hasn't seen the movie, but Darth Vader is standing there and he has to decide
It's Jedi, actually. It's not the Empire. It's Jedi.
Oh, Return of the Jedi. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
So he has to decide whether he's going to continue on the path of the dark side and continue to do the Emperor's bidding, or if he is going to save his son's life, who the Emperor is in the middle of killing with his lightning bolts.
All this scene is not a very important scene. All it is the redemption of Darth
Darth Vader. That's all that this scene is about. That's all that takes place in this particular scene.
Choosing
that he is
between
altered.
Son and boss, boss
the,
and
the
evil.
Emperor is giving Luke the business. He's giving him the lightning out of the fingertips business. He's
right.
killing Luke Skywalker,
right.
played by Mark Hamill.
Okay.
And Darth Vader stands there stoically and silently as he watches his evil master kill his son.
And would you say this scene is an important scene?
It's the only most important scene in the whole trilogy.
Okay.
Because he grew up and trained as a Jedi and then eventually turned his back on that and went to the dark side. So this is the turmoil that is going through. Now, before we play the audio of the new scene, Ralph, describe what we've all been seeing for all these decades.
So Vader stands silently as the Emperor is killing his son. And he starts to turn, looks at the Emperor, looks back at his son, back and forth. You can see the man. Man is being torn apart by these two powerful forces, the paternal love he feels for his son and the hold that the dark side of the Force has over him.
Right.
And he stares and he stares and he stares until finally, in a silent move of paternal rage, he picks the Emperor up, carries him to the engine shaft, and throws him down and murders him, thus saving his son. You don't know what his decision is going to be until that very moment when he moves and picks up the Emperor. It's remarkable. It's a very dramatic, impactful scene in that film.
Okay. And what did George Lucas... Now, what's it going to be like next Tuesday when it comes out?
Now, Lucas has added Darth Vader screaming, "No!" like a bitch. First he said that, he goes, "No." As he looks at him doing it, then he goes, "No!" like a bitch.
I have the audio. If you want to hear the updated version. Well, I don't even understand why he would do this, but here's the audio.
"No. No."
He throws him down.
Then he picks the Emperor up and throws him out. Just in case we weren't clear that he didn't like that his son was being killed, he has him say no twice, just so he really drives the point home. George Lucas, for all his visionary work, for all his visual talents, for the empire that he has created with these characters, is a ass-poor screenwriter.
Yeah.
He is a horrible writer and a bad director.
Which is odd, because he... Didn't he do both for... All of the movies?
No, he did the first one.
First one, okay.
And then he did it for the trilogy, the most recent films.
Which are considered better than the...
No!
Worse, okay.
It's no coincidence that the best one of the series, everyone agrees, is Empire, which was directed by Irwin Kershner, was a completely different director.
Oh, no kidding.
And altered a lot of the script, because the actors were going, "I can't read this crap. I can't say these words. They're horrible." And so now he's adding more bad and pointless, useless dialogue. He's taking a poignant moment and just beating it to death and just milking it for everything it's worth with this horrible dialogue.
Does he not think you understand?
I think that's the worry. I think that's a concern. He doesn't realize that I know that Darth Vader doesn't want his son to die. Doesn't need to say no. I can see by his actions.
No. No. No.
Dr. Smith from Lost in Space. Oh, William, out of the pain. No.
So you can go to kevinandbean.com right now,
bitch,
or krock.com.
Bitch Vader.
You can see the new footage. You can also take a poll whether, and this is, I think, would be interesting to hear from listeners too, who are following this conversation right now, who think that either George Lucas should be allowed to do whatever he wants because he created them and they're his movies and they're his to revise, just like an author would go back and revise a book, or if he ought to be somehow obligated to release them the way they were originally done, or at least make those versions available. Because this is the thing about George Lucas, Ralph. Am I right about this? He says, no, there's going to be one
right.
definitive version,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be mine.
Yes.
It's going to be the one that I want. I don't care about the previous versions.
I have friends
right?
of mine who still watch the movies on VHS when they watch them at home.
All right. Dorks.
Because that's the only way you can see the versions that were in the theaters.
Am I
the DVDs were completely altered. Now the Blu-rays are going to be different from the DVDs. If you want to see the film you saw in the theaters when you were a kid,
right.
you have to go to VHS, which is ridiculous.
Am I the only person who feels like, do you guys have every other problem in your lives solved? There's no trouble in your lives that
Look,
gets down to
matters.
This?
This matters because
this, is important.
This movie had an imprint on our childhoods.
Right.
And we would like to be able to recreate that experience when we go back and watch it. We don't have to want to be jarred out of the experience by going, well, that's not what happened. That's not what I remember. It's just, it's more of a distraction than it is an enhancement.
I mean, I hear at one point that Luke's not even on a Tauntaun. He's in a Prius. And when you start screwing around with it like that, it's no longer fun,
right? He
doesn't
need a land speeder anymore. He's a Vespa to get around Tatooine. It's just disturbing. He's a little Italian motor scooter.
All right. So we want to hear from you. What say you? 1-800-520-1067. Lucas is an a-hole and raping your childhood, or he can do whatever he wants. Or are you with Kevin that says anyone who cares about this is a big, fat loser?
No. I can see why you're upset.
No.
But the level of upset worries me. That's all.
I'm going to kidnap and torture George Lucas, if that's what you're suggesting.
Yeah, that's maybe a little much.
1-800-520-1067. Your call's next right here on the Kevin.
6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 27 minutes after 7 o'clock.
No.
No.
Give me a little bit of that song I love so much.
George Lucas raped a childhood. George Lucas raped a childhood.
It's been a long time since somebody has created something that people love so much and then done so much to make them angry.
Yes, to tape the memory.
He got the new dialogue when he had a phone conversation with James Earl Jones. He was telling him he was going to add the dialogue. He's like, yeah, James, I'm going to make Darth Vader talk, and that's it. No.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. Can't stop me. I'm George Lucas.
No.
And when he throws the Emperor, he's going to scream no.
No.
And he was just rolling tape.
It was James' reaction, to the idea.
Well, you can go to KevinAndBean.com to see the new poll, and if you want to cast your vote, 84% say at this point that George Lucas is in fact an a-hole. 9% say no, he should be allowed to do whatever he wants because they're his movies. 7% says anyone who cares is a loser. So let's talk to some of the people who care right now. 1-800-520-1067. Oscar gets us going on line one. Hey, Oscar, thanks for holding on, man. What say you?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
George Lucas has already ruined Saga for me. He did already with the DVD releases and everything. But what pisses me off more than anything is he continues to ruin the badassness that was Darth Vader. I mean, that's just,
Darth Vader was one of the great characters in all of cinema.
And now he sucks.
Well, I don't know that he sucks.
He sucks.
He's a little more bitchy.
The most important scene in that character's arc.
Yeah.
Of all of the films. And that is a character that runs through all six films, okay? Yeah. He is the star, really, of the entire saga. And that moment, the redemption of Darth Vader, happens in that brief instance. And he has taken that and he has just pooped all over.
Pretty much.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's try Maria. Line two, please. I'm a little bit surprised to see a woman calling in on this topic.
No.
Maria, thanks for the call. What's going on?
Hi, guys. Good morning. Good morning, Ms. May.
Good morning.
No, Empire is my favorite movie of all time.
It's the best. It's the best.
Is my favorite, group of movies of all time. And I totally agree with Ralph. This is the most important scene of all of these movies. Darth Vader is one of the best characters that's ever been brought to cinema, and he pooped all over it.
Yes.
I was one of those, defenders of George Lucas after he's adding extra scenes and changing dialogue and even turning, Darth Vader into a Frankenstein at the end of Revenge of the Sith. I even kind of gave him a little leeway, but I've been waiting for this to be on Blu-ray for about a year, and I heard about this on the internet a couple days ago, and he's killing me. I don't even want to watch it. I've been waiting for this Blu-ray for a year, and now I don't even want to watch the end of this trilogy or the saga. It's ridiculous.
All right. Very well said. Thank you so much, Maria. Yeah, from the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, by the way, Fernie writes in, it's his movie. To be honest, who gives a crap about him changing it? I don't even remember the original version anyways.
Well, then you should die.
I don't care much either.
Then you should die.
But I can see how it would anger me if it was something, if you loved the movie, I can see how it would
anger. A lot of people are saying that he's trying to bookend the Vader moments. When Vader comes off the table, when he's Hans Christian Andersen, whoever that actor is who plays him. And he becomes Darth Vader when he puts the helmet on him and everything, and he wakes up and he realizes that he's become this monster. In that scene, he goes, no, when he comes off the table.
He did it there too?
Yes. So they're saying he's bookending those moments by making him say that same thing in this scene. But my point is, it was crap when you did it the first time.
Right.
Don't double crap it by putting it in again.
By the way, remember in the DVD version of Return of the Jedi, Ralph, he added Hayden Christensen's character to that scene at the end where all of the ghosts come back and everything like that, who wasn't any part of any of those original movies. He went and added him in there.
Right.
All right. Here it is, Kevin, in terms that you can understand, because you don't love Star Wars the way we love Star Wars. Ghostbusters is your favorite movie of all time. Can you imagine if the Blu-ray came out of Ghostbusters, and instead of when someone is asked if you're a god, say yes. Imagine if the director went back in and changed it to, hey, if someone asks you're a god, you probably shouldn't say yes. That wouldn't be cool. Imagine if that's what the new movie looked like.
Yeah, that would suck.
I mean, you would hate that.
It would
be
suck.
Furious about
well,
that.
Well, I wouldn't be furious favorite, because I have other favorite, things in
right,
my life.
But it's your favorite movie of all time, and it's one of your favorite lines in one of your favorite movies of all time, and now it's gone. That's what's happening here.
I can see that. I can feel your pain. I hear you, Bean. I can understand.
All right.
Do we have time for one more or no?
Let's do one more. I think we have a mystery caller on line 9. Is that what I'm being told?
Lucas, asshole he is.
I'm sorry, is this Yoda?
It is Yoda, yes.
Did you just call Lucas a name?
Yes, asshole he is. He should
die.
Yes, then no one messes with the movies when under the ground he is.
That's a good point.
Hey, party people, thanks for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Adam Carolla is on the line. He is a day early for his week in rage because the Ace Man has a very busy schedule. Adam, before we get to your thing, first of all, welcome. Good morning. How was your weekend, man?
Fantabulous. How was yours?
Glad to hear that. You or one of your people tweeted last week when you were filming your car show on the Speed Channel that you were having a burrito or something in the back of a $300,000 car. What, they give you like total access to these unbelievable vehicles on this show?
Well, I was actually mad because it was a $425,000
unbelievable
Rolls-Royce coupe, and it was the weirdest thing in the world because I was out in, like, the high desert, like out in Lancaster, like at Edwards Air Force Base, and trying to do a top speed thing, and I had a bunch of time to kill, so I was just sitting in this $425,000 Rolls Royce with a guy next to me who types, writing my book. It was like 105 degrees outside. I was just sitting in there with the air conditioning on, just listening to the radio, and then it got really surreal. Because I just turned on the radio, and it was me on Howard Stern, me and Jimmy from like 10 years ago. So it got extra surreal. But, yeah, they just give you these cars, and then it's not only do they give you these cars, but you go out and do stupid things in them.
Sweet.
Which is fun.
I would be so terrified to get behind the wheel of any car that was worth more than about $40,000. I don't know that. I mean, I think I would just be too afraid to drive them because it would just break your heart so much if you screwed them up.
Well, it really gets weird. You know, it's one thing when you're in Beverly Hills, but when you're in the city of Mojave.
Yeah.
And you're seeing, you know that move, that super low-rent move where you see a car go by with four people in it and all four windows are down, and then you think, my God, it's 110 degrees, and right. Then you go, oh, that's right, they're poor. they have no air conditioning. Like, you go, why is that guy driving around with his windows all the way down? It's so damn hot outside. And then you go, oh, yeah, he's poor.
Yeah.
And I'm watching him from my Rolls Royce.
Yeah. All right, you can go to AdamDarola.com for all the details on his fine family of podcasts and upcoming events, including, by the way, a new Adam Carolla Hates the Holiday show this December in Anaheim, which I'll look forward to hearing more about as we get closer. First, though, time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, number three, working my way down to number one. Number three, the super long leash they put on the miniature dogs. Like, you know when the guy's walking the dog and he's got that leash? It's not really a leash. It's a reel for deep-sea marlin.
Right.
Like 7,000 yards of line on it.
Right.
And the dog is the size of a minnow, but it just takes off and it's wrapped around your leg four times. Let me explain the concept of a leash. A leash is you being held back by something. It's like, well, I have to go to my prison cell. It's 6,000 square feet. It has a vaulted ceiling. That's not a cell. This is not a leash.
Right.
I don't like these things running around, and the person who you're talking to never really feel. I've never been able to master one of those things. I'm either putting my thumb on it and taking the dog's neck off, or the thing's running around and going around a telephone pole 10 times. Like, I can never figure them out. But I'm just saying, there should be a max to something called a leash. Once you can't see your dog over the horizon, leash, null and void. That's just become a weapon. The concept of a leash is for you to keep your dog near you.
But you can take a nap and then reel it back in.
That's what I'm saying. Like, should we all just agree 9 foot? 4 inches max on a leash.
Fine.
Otherwise,
that's fine.
No longer a leash.
You're decapitating people and everything else.
Yeah, like, hey, they used to have missiles that had tethers on them. Do you think the guys who were in the bunkers that got blown up by them went, well, it was on a leash? No, there's a max 9.4 inches. That's it.
Good enough.
Done.
All right. Also, I was at poor Uncle Frank's funeral yesterday, and. Of course, somebody's cell phone went off in the middle of it because you can't get 155 people together and not have someone's cell phone go off. Even though, as part of the eulogy, the priest starts off by now saying, turn off your cell phone.
Right.
Which is so damn pathetic. I'm not sure if it's in the good book or not. I don't feel like there's any way they could have foreseen this, but I've not read it in a while. The point is even though he makes the proclamation, don't, you know, shut those cell phones off. Still some poor bastard's phone has to ring. And I always have two thoughts. I have a cell phone. You know where it was? In the car.
Yeah.
You want to know why? I could not use it in the next hour. That's the whole thing. People want to have their cell phone on them. Why? You can't. Well, you think you're going to get a text? The president's been shot. And you have to clear out of there? You're not going anywhere. And everyone you know is here anyway. What's the deal? Leave it in the car. Whatever message your fat wife left you will be waiting for you when you get back to the car. And you'll have the greatest excuse ever for not calling whoever back. You're in a church attending a service.
Yeah.
Don't bring it with you. But cell phone designers, let's not make the second ring come 0.3 seconds after the first ring and embarrass the crap out of the poor person whose phone is blowing up in the church. You know what I mean? First ring goes off, everybody in the church hears it. Then the second ring follows 0.1 seconds later.
Yeah.
Why? Give a nice 10 Mississippi in there. A, leave it in the car. B, listen to the padre when he tells you to shut down the phone. Maybe the guy only spoke Latin. I don't know. But C, cell phone, the guys who manufacture and program these things. Give us a couple Mississippi so we can get the thing out of the purse or out of the suit pocket and shut it down.
All right.
Good advice.
I like it.
Yeah, but everyone, leave it in the car.
You're not that important. Whoever's phone went off was probably the least important person there that needed that call the least.
And I'd love to know who it was.
Yeah.
Some distant relative saying, hey, let's not forget about the fantasy football draft Wednesday. All right. And last but not least, I don't know if this is going to hit home or not. The coffee pot and the coffee pot automatic shut off when you pull the carafe out. Now, here's what I'm saying. Half of them have that thing where it's half a pot. You can't wait for the pot to get finished. So you pull the thing out. It has the automatic shut off.
Right.
And the other half speed up, at least appear to dump coffee. Like when you pull the thing out, like they're just dripping along, and then you pull it out, and it just dumps a load of coffee on there. Like one of those C-130s, you're putting out forest fires or something. Just boom, douse it with coffee. And I never know which ones have that device built into them and which ones don't. And all I'm saying is, it's 2011. They've had this thing going on for 20 years. Still, the one I have at my shop doesn't have this device. Shouldn't it be a federal mandate that they all just are built in with this? Because once you get used to being around one that has one, and then you reach for one that doesn't, you get the coffee dump. And I'm saying, just like the pop top versus the twist top on the beers, shouldn't we go just one way or the other?
Yeah.
So to save confusion, scalding coffee, burnt coffee, and burnt hands, and hurt feelings.
I like it.
I'm with you.
Where
I think
would
that's
we be
idea.
Without the Ace Man?
Yeah, right.
I know. There's nothing he can't complain about or improve. That's true. Go to AdamCarolla.com to find out all of Adam's upcoming live appearances. And, of course, be sure to stay up to date with his phenomenal award-winning podcast. Ace Man, have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jack.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 7:56.
No.
Darth Vader is very unhappy about everything today. Bucky Larson, Born to be a Star, opening on Friday. We've got the co-writer and star of the film, Nick Swartzen, joining us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
While we're talking about movies, it is Tuesday. That means new CDs, DVDs, and TV on DVD available for your purchase. Thought I'd give you a heads up. Some stuff you might want to pick up.
All right.
How about Hot Sauce by Jesse J?
Oh, new album from Jesse J. Great. I'll buy that. All right. I like the last one a lot.
All right. Somebody knows what that is.
Bean's down with Jesse J.
There we go.
What's her hit, Bean?
Price Tag was probably her biggest.
Oh, she was the one that was singing at the MTV Awards.
At the MTV Awards. That's right. Last weekend, yeah.
They would let her start singing, and then they would talk immediately over her. That's how the whole show went.
She must be a big star then. Yeah. I'll never
mind. I have a clip for you here, Ralph.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, this is Jesse J. Now I know her. That's her biggest
hit. Now I know what we're talking about. Good. Okay. Hugh Laurie, my co-star from House, has an album out today. It's been out in the UK for a while. Now it's out here in the States called Let Them Talk. Kevin, you would hate it.
Okay. All right. Good. Good tip.
Because it's all New Orleans blues, jazz kind of thing.
He's a great piano player, right?
Yeah, he plays guitar, too.
Wow.
And this is, by all accounts, a really good CD for everyone except for Kevin. It says right there on the cover.
Does it say that?
New DVDs, X-Men First Class. James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender. Loved that film.
That's one of those that I wanted to see and missed. So
if only it was out on DVD, you could see it. You know what? Boom! There.
Awesome.
Your wishes are command. Hannah with Saoirse Ronan.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Eric Bana, Cate Blanchett, about the little girl who's raised to be an assassin and turns on her handlers. I did not see that, and I'm looking forward to seeing that on DVD. And Everything Must Go, starring Will Ferrell and Rebecca Hall. You can check that out. TV on DVD today. The Office, Season 7. Community, the second season. Fringe, Season 3. Criminal Minds, 6th season. Parks and Recreation, Season 3. And No Ordinary Family, the complete first season. And I think only season. For that show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to upset Chicky. You know how Chicky gets when he's upset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Tito Jackson has announced he's going on tour to pay tribute to his late brother.
Okay.
Oh, Tito. It's just sad.
It kind of is.
Don't do this. It is a singing and spoken word show called A Jackson Named Michael. Remembering a Legend.
Really?
That's going to be awesome.
Tito and Rebe.
Oh, no.
Will be on stage singing Michael's songs and telling stories about him and taking questions from the audience.
But the emotion? Too much for Tito.
Yeah, it's too much for Tito. Tour kicks off in the UK in March of next year, 2012. They also have a family friend touring with them, Denise Williams. You remember Niecy, don't you?
Nope.
Denise Williams?
I do not. I don't remember her at all.
Denise Williams was a family friend of the Jacksons, apparently, but she was also a singer in her own right. In fact, she had a song off of the Footloose soundtrack. Let's hear it for the boy.
I remember.
And apparently, everyone in the Jackson family called her Niecy. Or her close friends call her
right?
Niecy. That's what I've always been meant to believe.
PGC, I still love that song. From Niecy. Almost sprained myself right down there in the ankle every time I hear it. You might say it almost made my foot loose.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Almost sprained myself right down there in my ankle every time I hear it.
Every time I hear it. So somehow when he hears it, his ankle gets almost sprained. And then, by the way, when your ankle's sprained, the last thing your foot is loose, by the way. Usually it's very tight and hard to move. So that fails on every possible level.
Of course
not
it does.
Not mention, did you call her Niecy as if you know her?
He did.
There was no, would you like to take that back when I was on the radio in those days.
Would you like to now take that back?
Yes. Right. Yes, I would.
Too late.
Yeah. Niecy. Douchebag.
How am I getting hate for something that I did in like 1985?
Because you earned it. Because you've earned it.
That just begs for us.
Oh, come on. PGC, I still love that song. From Niecy. Almost sprained myself right down there in the ankle every time I hear it. You might say it almost made my foot loose.
It's like saying, why does Hitler still get hate for trying to take over the world in 1939? You know why? Because he just crimes against humanity. That's why. And that's why you get hate.
This is comparable. Same reason. I guess you're right.
Same reason.
About the same.
Today's celebrity birthday is Roger Waters of Pink Floyd is 68 years old today. Jeff Foxworthy's 53. Michael Winslow, dude from Police Academy, made all those cool noises with his mouth. Let's have him on the show. Let's find Michael Winslow and have him on the show.
Why didn't he turn that into a successful career, by the way?
I don't know.
What happened after those movies?
But I want him just to come in and be on the show. And we'll just talk to him, see what he's been up to, and have him make some noises for us.
I'm down. I like it.
That would be awesome.
Are you talking about at the John Lovitz podcast
theater? No, I'm talking about here in the Kevin and Bean Show theater.
Well, Saturday nights,
No, we'll bring in Michael Winslow, have him sit right next to me, we'll just talk, and he'll go... And he'll do all that kind of stuff.
But will he speak?
Yes, of course he'll speak. Okay. Let's catch up with Michael Winslow, see what he's been up to.
I like it. I'm in.
All right. Rosie Perez is 47. Macy Gray is 41. Dolores O'Riordan, singer for the Cranberries, is 40. Foxy Brown celebrates 33. And Cisco Adler's 33 as well today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You're Nick Swartzen.
Yep.
Grandma's Boy is like one of my favorite movies.
You getting coke?
If I'm sober and someone's like, dude, your car's on fire, I'm like, who did it? If I'm drunk, like, dude, your car's on fire, I'm like, good, my car, bro. I used to work at Taco Bell, which is true. And it's great working there because you get free diarrhea. When I was a kid, I always wanted to be a detective. So when you drink too much and you black out, you wake up, you have a lot of mysteries to solve. It is very exciting.
I love monkeys, but I love high-fiving.
Yeah, everyone thinks I'm gay.
Gay is just a word.
It has nothing to do with gay people, but some stuff's gay, dude.
I'm sorry, but how else am I supposed to describe a fanny pack?
Well, you have a regular kid, he's like, Dad, I wet my pants. You're like, you have a British kid, he's like, Daddy, I went wee-wee in me britches. I'm like, what? That is awesome, British kid.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Nick Swartzen. Let him hear it.
Always a pleasure to welcome Mr. Swartzen back to the Kevin and Bean Show. And thank God, because it's been like 3 weeks since he's been in the movie. Thank God he's got a new film opening everywhere this Friday called Bucky Larson, Born to be a Star. Hey, Nick, how are you, man?
Hey, guys. Great to be back.
Great to have you. Like, I mean, it's weird because I'm sure we hear this story all the time. You make a movie and you don't know when it's going to come out. And it's just by coincidence, they both come out in the same couple of week period. But it must make it kind of busy for you right now.
Yeah. It's been a little intense. But yeah, Bucky Larson was actually made 2 years ago. So it's like finally we got released, but it was like right after 30 minutes or less. So it's been, yeah, a little intense.
I am so fascinated with guys like Adam Sandler who find friends that have a sympathetic comedy streak in them and surround themselves, and you guys are a team. I mean, it seems like it's like the same people are involved in writing a whole bunch of different movies over decades, it seems like sometimes. And I always think that's so neat that you guys all found each other.
Yeah, it's pretty surreal. I mean, he had that camp already in place, and then, you know, about 8 years ago, he saw my stand-up and then just brought me in to do like a rewrite on a script.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. So it's kind of like an audition. Hey, let's see what you can do
in
with,
a way,
with our script.
Yeah.
Did like, he call you out of the blue?
He called me out of the blue. He was home with his wife, and he had seen my first Comedy Central special and wrote my name down and came into the office, and he was like, does anybody know who this kid is? And they were like, oh, yeah. And so he was like, I want to track him down. So he tracked me down, and I, you know, they called me up, and they're like, Adam Sandler wants to talk to you. And I was like, okay, and I just hung up the phone. I'm like, that's obviously a joke.
Right, right. It's Kevin Nealon playing a joke on me.
That's what we all would have done.
Yeah. No.
What movie was it for, Nick?
It was for Grandma's Boy.
No kidding.
Yeah, and they had the script, and it was a PG-13, like, broad comedy. And they handed me the script, and they're like, hey, can you make this rated R and, like, as crazy as you could possibly think of? And I was like, yeah, sure. And I did that, and then, you know, he would just give me, like, little things here and there. You know, I mean, Adam's like a workaholic, and you have to really work hard. I mean, there's nobody that doesn't work for what they get. I mean, a lot of people just assume like, oh, Adam's handed Nick a movie, but it was like, no. I mean, like, we worked, you know, I worked hard to get up to this point. And even like Bucky Larson, I mean, I wrote it with Adam and Alan Covert, and we worked for a year on the script, and I mean, it was a lot. It was a long process.
Hey, it's really hard to write funny movies. I mean, that's one thing we've learned, is that it's very difficult to do. Even though you got a bunch of really, really funny guys, it's tough to put it on the page.
Yeah, it is. And especially this movie, Bucky Larson, was really tough because we wanted to write this comedy.
Wait, I thought that's what it was.
2 hours of dick jokes.
Yeah. All right. So you are Bucky Larson. You're the star. And as I understand it, you find out that your parents were adult film stars and you decide, I want to be like mom and dad. I'm going to get into that world too. But you yeah. are clueless, right? You're totally like a zero, right?
I am beyond a zero. I'm a negative zero. It's like, I am not only a virgin, I've never even orgasmed before. I've never even kissed a girl. I mean, like, and I have buck teeth and this bowl cut. I mean, you know, the character looks so goofy and people are like, why does he look like such a weirdo? But it's like, we wanted to like put everything against him going into trying to being a porn star. So we just wanted to give every possible hurdle of like looking like a gargoyle. You know what I mean? A tiny penis. He's never orgasmed. So we just wanted to have all these hurdles for him to kind of get put through.
You do sound like the perfect guy to play that role, though, if I'm being honest. Just in terms of a guy with very little going on, lucky to get a chick. How did you come up with the bowl cut? Because, of course, you see it, you go, wow, I haven't seen a haircut that bad since, you know, Dumb and Dumber, maybe. I mean, you just wanted to make him as sad as possible. But did you try, like, a bunch of different looks on the character?
Yeah, we tried a bunch of different looks. We had him, one time, we had him in, like, a Spinal Tap, like Christopher Guest mullet.
Sweet.
That was pretty sweet.
Uh-huh.
And then one time we had, like, a bowl cut that was like it was too short, where like it went it came like halfway through his head like a Mo from Three Stooges. and then we just settled on like a kind of, I don't even know what you would call that, like a Streisand.
It looks good on you.
It really does look good on you. I mean, you should, you know, go with it.
You think I should commit to that?
I'm just saying, it looks good on you.
Should I grow my teeth out too?
Yes, please. I don't know how you do that, but yeah.
I don't either. I'll figure it out.
Does Bucky get to Hollywood and then go on porn auditions?
It's kind of this whole fish out of water. Yeah, I mean, it's basically this kid. I mean, he's from rural Iowa, and he just has never been anywhere. He's never even been out of his little, like, supermarket town. And it's just insane. I mean, you know, you see the commercials on TV, and they're kind of confusing, or they're just, like, kind of random. But the thing about the movie, it's like a hard R movie. It's basically the same creative team behind Grandma's Boy. So,
sweet.
You know, we can't really show the insanity, but there's a lot of insanity. Like, if you want to see, like, you know, the Red Band trailer is online, and that's kind of more in the vein of what the movie is. But the movie's awesome.
There's not enough R-rated movies these days.
No,
they try to make them all PG-13 so that everyone can go and gets the biggest box office or whatever.
Well, this
but
summer
I'm always excited when there's ours. Yeah, this summer's been pretty good.
Yeah, it's been pretty intense. But yeah, I love doing R-rated stuff, man.
The film is called Bucky Larson, Born to be a Star. Nick Swartzen is our guest. We'll take a quick break, come back with more right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. Nick Swartzen is our guest here on The Kevin and Bean Show from Bucky Larson, Born to be a Star, opening everywhere on Friday. By the way, I don't even know how much of this email I can read, but we got an email from a listener who saw an early cut, I guess, of the movie. I guess you do test audience cuts.
Uh-huh.
Said he hopes some of that stuff is able to survive to the final cut because it's some of the most awesome, raunchy stuff he's ever seen in his life.
Sweet.
Oh, awesome.
I guess there's something that happens to Bucky when he gets excited. That is a running gag in the movie that's very funny.
Yeah, no, it's insane, dude. Yeah. and we did keep all of it. There's nothing that we cut out. I mean, it was borderline NC-17 and we really had to fight for a lot of stuff.
Well, we feel your pain. Nick had a big weekend, by the way. I didn't know that you were a big gamer, but you were part of that Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 thing that was happening over the weekend. It just looked incredible.
Yeah, it was the greatest thing ever. It was the greatest thing ever. Like, I have withdrawal from it right now. It was Friday and Saturday. It was Modern Warfare 3, which I'm a big Modern Warfare fan. I love the game. I love Modern Warfare 2. And
did you play it when you were down there? Were you one of the guys who got to play it?
Psycho, yeah. I won like a little tournament with like this group of like random dudes. I jumped in and we played, and they had built like actual physical maps for Modern Warfare 2, and you could play paintball on it. And they had like zip lines, and they had like a Jeep excursion with like Navy SEALs where they would like take you on a mission and stuff.
You're
like
in
that.
Heaven.
Yeah, it was like I'm still having withdrawal from it. Kanye West performed and Dropkick Murphys. It was really cool. This, and I swear to God, this is real. This happened to me after the event. I went out Saturday night, the next day I went out Sunday, and I went day drinking at a pool party.
Good.
Then I went home, showered, and then went night drinking. And I went out, and I went karaokeing. It was just like a tornado. I just went all over the place. And this is 100% true. My hand to God, Kevin. I woke up at my apartment. It was like 4 in the morning, And I look next to me, and there's a rabbi sitting on my couch.
What?
A rabbi. What? And we're watching Avatar.
Wait, you're talking about you had a dream. This happened in a dream.
This what happened to me. I went into, like, I drank and blacked out, and then I don't know what happened. I was at a karaoke bar, and then I woke up at my place, and there's a rabbi sitting on my couch next to me.
And you were watching Avatar.
He woke me up, and he goes, "Hey, man, I'm going to take off." I'm like, okay.
You didn't recognize him at all? You had no idea who he was?
Had no idea.
That's the strangest thing anyone has ever woken up to.
It was the weirdest thing. And I've woken up, I mean, I've seen some crazy stuff, but, like, that was the most random thing ever. It was so bizarre.
Did you ask him? I mean, were you too thrown off by
No, I was so confused and, like, drunk and tired. And so the next day, I called my buddy and I go, "Dude, what happened last night?" And he goes, "We were doing karaoke and then you, like, disappeared. And then we saw you at another bar and you were talking to a rabbi." And I go, "What? Did you ask me what I was talking to him about?" And he goes, "No." And he goes, "Then we just left you there, and then I don't know what happened."
It's friends.
Okay,
right thing.
So at some point the conversation must have shifted to, "I'm getting out of here, oh, I'll go with you," or "I'm getting out of here," or "Oh, I'll help you get home." I mean, there must have been some invitation.
The only thing that I can think of is that I must have been in pretty bad shape. So I'm sure he was
taking care of you.
Yeah, so I'm sure he was like, "I'm going to walk this poor child home," or something. Like, I don't know. I don't know where Avatar fit in, though. Like, why would he just dump me on my doorstep? Why was he like, "We must go inside and watch Avatar. That is the cure for alcoholism."
Do you think you were already out by then, and maybe he was just flipping through the TV and decided to watch Avatar?
I have no idea.
You have no idea. That's bizarre.
I have no idea.
That's weird.
I don't know what else to have. Maybe I converted.
If you were passed out, though, how glad are you it wasn't a priest who brought you home? I mean, seriously, think about it. I could have been. Did you do any kind of follow-up? Like, did you get a number on this dude so you can put the pieces together? Like, you know, like Jason Bourne, try to figure out what happened?
No, not yet. I gotta figure that out.
I need to get the hangover camera.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Go through the pictures and figure out exactly how that all ended
up.
Yeah,
I'll piece it together. I'll do my little Bourne identity.
Was he a gay rabbi?
No, I'm just asking. Doubt it.
You don't know?
I mean, I'm saying
you don't know. Could have been.
I'm saying I don't know. I was fully clothed when I woke up. I didn't have, like, a yarmulke on my ass. I almost swore. I pulled back.
That sounds like another movie. To me, it sounds like you've just written the first draft of another film for you, Nick. That's an amazing story.
Hangover.
I love it. All right. Let's get back to, in our remaining moments, with the great Nick Swardson here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Bucky Larson, Born to Be a Star, is the film. I believe we do have a clip. Kevin, you want to set this up? What are we going to hear from the film?
I believe you're talking to your parents. Your mom, maybe, who tells you how difficult it is to get into the business?
Okay.
Okay, this is the clip, and then you can tell us about
it. I was born to be a star.
Oh, I don't know about that, Bucky. I mean, it's not an easy life.
Oh.
It's filled with long days and lots of chafing.
I ain't afraid of chafing.
Hey, mom?
Yeah.
In the movie, that's your mom?
What? My real mom?
No, in the movie.
Oh. Yeah, it's my mom.
Who else is at the
end of the clip?
That's the end of the clip that we have.
Oh, okay.
Why, is it funnier and we just cut it off?
No. I always forget. It gets crazier, but...
All right.
I love that. I ain't afraid of chafing.
Who else is in the movie, Nick? This is your big chance to sell it to the Kevin and Bean audience.
We have an amazing cast. We have Don Johnson. Christina.
The Don Johnson? Yeah. Or a guy named Don Johnson?
No. The Don Johnson, Miami Vice, Nash Bridges. Yeah, he's incredible. He plays like the Burt Reynolds Boogie Nights kind of role.
Sweet. Oh, nice.
And then Christina Ricci.
Oh, I love her so much.
Incredible. Stephen Dorff, who plays my kind of nemesis. He plays a guy with a huge wiener. He's like the big porn star.
And so he's the opposite of you.
Yeah. And his name is Dick Shadow.
All right.
My favorite names.
Sweet. I like it.
And then the great Kevin Nealon.
Yeah. He's the best.
He plays my roommate, Gary. And he's a jerk.
Did you know him before you were brought in to work on Grandma's Boy?
I've known Kevin Nealon for 15 years.
Oh.
Wow. I emceed for Kevin Nealon when I started comedy in Minnesota in 1996. I hosted for him. And I remember... We were sitting backstage, and he was like, "How old are you?" And I'm like, 18. And he was like, "Did you go to college?" And I'm like, "No." And he goes, "Are you going to?" And I'm like, I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence. And he was like, you should go to college, man. And I'm like, really? And he was like, yeah, it's really important, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't go to college. And then I saw him years ago, and I'm like, yeah, I didn't go to college. He's like, yeah, that's fine.
Well, it worked out for both of you. We love Kevin Dillon, too. Be sure to give him our best when you see him. I'm sure you'll see him this week. Have you already had the premiere, or is it still coming
out? We had the premiere last week in Austin, Texas.
Fantastic. Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was great.
Well, the movie looks hilarious. Bucky Larson, Born to be a Star is what it's called. It opens up everywhere this Friday. Nick, always great to see you, man. Thanks a lot for coming
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
It's Tuesday after the long weekend. We always like to catch up with our good friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. He joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Harvey, how are you, man?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Do any jet skiing or anything over the weekend like you do?
You know what? I'm playing tennis again. I used to play every day, and work and life got in the way, and I'm playing again, and it was great.
But you have, like, 7 pagers and 4 Blackberries and 3 iPhones, right?
Well, what it does is it screws up my opponent, so it's kind of a ploy.
All right. Okay.
Are you good, by the way, Harvey?
I used to be on the team, but I stopped for a long time, but I'm so excited. I love it.
I was just mentioning we're going to play our highlights of our interview with Bush coming up in a few minutes. We talked to Gavin Rosdale on Friday, and he has gotten hardcore into tennis. His band members told us that he does beat, on occasion, some people who are on the professional tour. That's how good he is.
Wow.
So there you go. All right, let's turn our attention to TMZ.com, which, of course, has late-breaking stories all throughout the holiday weekend and all the time. Gloria Allred is back on your page.
This is great.
And the first thing I said to Kevin is, wait till you see how Gloria Allred is trying to get some publicity this week. Harvey, tell us what she's doing.
This is just so classic. So Chaz Bono has been taking some heat for going on Dancing, and there are some groups that are saying that they believe that parents with young kids should boycott the show because kids are impressionable, and if they see Chaz and there's any confusion, I'm not sure what the follow-up sentence here is, whether they're going to run out and get their genitals changed.
Harvey,
or whatever.
There is no follow-up sentence. It's the most absurd thing we've ever seen.
It really is.
Okay.
So Gloria is going to hold a news conference in about an hour and a half, and what she's going to have some people. She is going to say that they're announced that there's going to be a nationwide dance party for transgenders on the night that the show debuts on September 19th.
Is she Chaz Bono's lawyer?
No, she's not Chaz Bono's lawyer, but Gloria figured out a way into this thing.
Oh. so she knew that there was a chance that perhaps she could get on camera.
Well, here's how she's going to get on camera. This is a great thing. So she is going to put out the word that she will dance with any transgender who wants to dance with her at the LA dance party.
Why would any
transgender want to sully themselves by dancing with Gloria Allred?
Why would anyone want to dance with Gloria Allred?
So, well...
Harvey, it's funny, guys. Listen,
Harvey is struggling because he has professional courtesy for other attorneys, right, Harvey? You don't want to say too much about her.
No, professional courtesy. I'm just amused by it. I mean, she does find a way. And, you know, and I can't wait for this news conference because we're going to ask her to dance at the news conference.
Oh, sure. Sweet.
But, I mean, aren't you then part of the problem, Harvey, if you're one of the cameras who does show up every time she pulls a stunt like this?
When did I say I wasn't part of the problem?
That's a good
point.
Well,
that's an excellent point.
You've never claimed that. That's true.
All right. Let's talk about – we only got time for one more, Harvey. You want to talk about the Soldier Boy story? You want to talk about the Red State Kevin Smith movie that our own Ralph Garman is in?
Well, I'll talk about either. And they're both really interesting stories. I mean, you know what? Soldier Boy is so interesting. Although, yeah, kudos to Ralph.
Agreed.
But on Soldier Boy – I just think it's really interesting that he came out with this, you know, with this song where it's like, you know, F the military, and the military now is lashing back, and there are people now. The move is to ban all of his songs on bass, to not sell them at the canteen, and Soulja Boy has now apologized, which is kind of weird because, you know, how heartfelt is the apology? I mean, he clearly thought about what he was going to do because he had to release the song, and he's apologizing because now there's a backlash.
This is what I don't understand. Look, there are a lot of people who are pro-military, pro-men and women in uniform, but very much against the policies in the last 10 years or so of the government in terms of getting involved in all these other countries. But he came out and specifically said negative things about the service people, right?
Right.
Not just about the job that they're being asked to do.
That's right. And so why do that? I mean, these are the guys, you know, they're not making the policy, so they're pissed off. And he has now, you know, and that's the thing that's weird to me is that he knew what he was doing. I mean, he had to write it down. He had to record it. He had to release it. And now he's apologizing. So it seems like he's apologizing not because he feels it. He's apologizing it because it didn't go over well, which is kind of a weird apology.
Yeah, I think that's a given and a non-apology, really.
Is Soulja Boy, I mean, you know, I don't keep up with the pop charts every day, but it seems to me like it's been a long time that he's had a record at all that has been a hit. I mean, is it possible that this is just his way to try to get some controversy?
I think so. I mean, I think he's on the downswing and he's kind of desperate. And, I mean, the interesting thing to me is that, you know, and I totally understand what, you know, what the guys in the military are saying, but it's interesting because they do fight for freedom of speech. You know, and for, you know, for all of the freedoms we have. Yeah. And one of those freedoms is, you know, the First Amendment.
Agreed.
Right.
And they are trying to ban him from the base because of what he's saying. It's just an interesting situation. I'm fascinated by the story.
You can keep up with all the world of the celebrities and news going on at TMZ.com and check your local listings for TMZ television. We didn't have time to get to the Westboro Baptist Church threatening to protest Ralph's movie Red State. Go to TMZ.com, read about that. And Harvey, one more thing. Is this new on your site where you're streaming the previous day's TV show in its entirety?
We've been streaming it for a while.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because I had not noticed that until recently. That's a fantastic thing for people to know. If you miss it on TV, you get a chance to watch the show the next day on the website, which is awesome. And, of course, when in Hollywood, be sure to take the Hollywood TMZ tour as well. Harvey,
so great.
Thanks for coming on.
Okay, guys.
Kevin Abeen, Bush Bash, coming up next. Music performed live, interview with the band Bush, right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin Abeen Show. It is Tuesday. Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Things are just going on, man. What crazy
right,
things?
But what things?
Oh,
anything in particular?
There's so much; it's just hard to even talk about. Okay, so I'm not gonna.
Well,
back to you.
Can we have some of it?
This is sort of your feature where you bring up a couple of the topics. Okay, I'll mention a few things then. My Chemical Romance has fired its drummer for a very interesting reason.
Okay,
their drummer, Mike Petticone, was caught stealing personal items from the other members of the band.
Yes!
What?
Really?
After its concert Thursday night in Auburn, Washington, the drummer was caught stealing stuff from the other guys in the band.
What?
No charges were filed after Mike confessed to the police.
What stuff? Does it say?
Does not say here what those personal items were, but he was taking crap from the other guys in the band.
That seems bad. Would you do that?
Why would you steal from your fellow bandmates?
Right.
I don't know.
That makes no sense.
Steal from the fans.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Of course.
Or the venue or someone else. The new My Chemical Romance drummer is a guy named Jared Alexander, who, of course, you remember played Jerry Seinfeld's best friend for many seasons.
That's
on Jason. Seinfeld.
It's Jason Alexander. It's not the same person.
What?
What?
He was the drummer for Death by Stereo and Suicide File.
But he is the guy that buried Britney Spears for 55
That's
hours in Las
different
Vegas,
Jason
though, right?
Alexander. You just said Jason Alexander was on Seinfeld.
You said it wasn't Jason
Same
Alexander.
Name, different person. Get it together, boys. He was on stage Saturday night for the band show in Salt Lake City. So the guy was replaced. Within 2 days, boom, they had a new drummer.
All right.
Wow.
So congratulations to my Chem. Sorry about the stuff that you got stolen from you.
That is weird.
We don't know the name of the next James Bond movie, but we do know who's going to sing its theme song. This is a big honor for a artist to be asked to record the James Bond theme.
Right.
It's a big deal. It has been since the second James Bond movie. Big, big deal to have someone ask. Mm-hmm. And then people like Paul McCartney have done it. Madonna did one. Aha. Let's not forget Aha. Yep. Duran Duran. Shirley Bassey has done several of them. Sheryl Crow.
Garbage. Yeah, a lot of good ones.
Adele apparently will be singing the new James Bond theme. Yes.
Oh, good choice. Good choice.
She was on Jonathan Ross's TV show in the UK. I don't know if you guys watch that on BBC America or not. But he asked her what she was working on, and she said she was doing a theme for a movie. And then Jonathan Ross started to guess, and he guessed James Bond, and she got embarrassed. Apparently, she wasn't supposed to tell people. It kind of slipped out. But it's all good. And she will be doing it. No word yet, as I mentioned, the name of the movie. But people are thinking, because it's Adele, it'll be Butterfinger as opposed to Goldfinger.
Wow.
Butterfinger.
Wow.
I like candy. I stuff it right in my mouth. It all goes south to my ass and hip region. So. I'm looking forward to that.
That's what we're talking about now?
Eddie Murphy may host the Oscars.
Well, that's a terrible idea.
Brett Ratner
hasn't been funny in 20 years.
He's producing, and he says he's going to ask Eddie to host the Oscars. Rumor has it that Eddie will also play all the winners as well in fat suits. He'll play all the roles, so I'm looking forward to seeing that. Yeah. Rumor is the reason Brett's asked him is because Brett's next film is called Tower Heist. It stars Eddie Murphy. You see what they've done there.
Sure.
A little cross-promotion.
Sure.
Get Eddie Murphy to host the Oscars, and you got that going for you.
Look, I'm like...
I'm sorry, I have to go empty my big gulp. Apparently, it's just ice now.
What are you referencing?
Your big gulp obsession.
Your giant cup of ice that we can hear rattling around during the show.
You're drinking very loudly.
I didn't hear that all right. Look, I like a comedian hosting the Oscars. I think that's great. I can't remember, no joke, the last time Eddie Murphy said or did anything funny.
Norbit, come on!
Yeah. It would be shocking to me if he was good.
Norbit!
Yeah.
Hey! Norbit!
Yeah?
Big fat suit.
Sure.
Yeah. And big changes over on The Talk. Y'all watch The Talk, right?
Not a...
Hey, man, Adam. Hey!
Hey!
Not 1 second of it, no. This is the ripoff of The View that I don't watch.
That's right.
Okay.
This is CBS's version of The View. They have fired Leah Remini and Holly Robinson Peete. So now they're bringing on two new hosts to sit down with Sarah Gilbert, Julie Chen, and Sharon Osbourne.
Okay.
Molly Shannon from Saturday Night Live and Cheryl Underwood. I am not familiar with her work. But this makes the show much better.
It is going to take off now.
Now I'm going to watch.
But how many times, Ralph, in your day-to-day life have you thought, I wonder what Molly Shannon thinks about this story?
I do. And now she gets to talk the talk.
That's great.
And I get to walk the walk away from my TV set. Today's celebrity birthdays. Roger Waters is 68 years old today. Jeff Foxworthy turns 53. Michael Winslow, star of Police Academy. He makes noises with his mouth that sound realistic.
That is correct.
Or did 20 years ago.
Still does.
I don't know if he still does it.
He is 53 years old. I'm not going to rest until Michael Winslow is on this show.
Well,
and that is a promise.
That's quite a goal.
Yeah, it is. All right? So you watch it happen, Kevin. You watch it happen.
You make that happen.
All right, I'm going to make it happen.
Meanwhile, Bean's up here getting his hair cut in 50 different states.
You guys,
nobody says you guys aren't driven.
Rosie Perez is 47 years old.
Hey, I got a Nevada haircut over the weekend. I'm very proud of adding another state to the list.
Is that a euphemism, the Nevada haircut?
No, it sounds like a sex position. It's not. It's an actual haircut.
Macy Gray's 41. Dolores O'Riordan from the Cranberries is 40. Foxy Brown celebrates her 33rd birthday. And Cisco Adler celebrates his 33rd as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Mind's strong, body's strong. Try to find equilibrium. Head straight, screwed up, screwed up, too long. Don't wanna lean on the waves, but watch the storms evaporate. I think of you, star of the sky. I keep you so alive. Let's walk through the fire together. Disappear in the golden sun. It's all in your face that I see you break. Like the sound of winter, bleeding a love, silent escape. You got to hang on to yourself. It's like the sound of winter. Juice smiles, juice slips, open arms, fingertips, love bites, red and pink. Let's walk through the fire together. Disappear in the golden sand. It's all in vain. I see it break. It's like the sound of winter. Bleeding love, silent escape. You have to hang on to yourself. It's all in vain. I see it break. It's like the sound of winter.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the beautiful Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. We are Kevin and Bean. We're very excited to bring to the stage, for the first time in a long time, give it up for Bush.
Hello.
Bush, you're on the Kevin and Bean show. It's been a while since we've seen you guys. Mr. Rosdale, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you doing? I'm happy to be back.
What? Well, we got so many questions because we haven't seen you in such a long time, but... Why Bush? I mean, you've had, since the last time the band put out an album, you've had a solo record, you've had an album with a band under a different name. Now, Bush, why?
Because I missed all these good people, and I was sick of not getting invited to your show. I was like, this is messed up.
Sorry.
Find a way back. So, no, it just seemed the best time, you know, before the solo record, me and Robin tried to make another Bush record, and then that fell through, so we did the solo career. And I've been having a great time working with Chris and with Corey. And this has seemed the right time. And the way things are going, it seems that we chose exactly the right time to do it.
How did you go about finding your players for this band?
With Chris and Corey, I've been around for a long time, especially Chris. And with Robin, obviously, even longer. So it was really straightforward. You know, it was like finding out who from the original lineup wanted to come and rejoin. And it was Robin. So Chris played with Bush at the end of the Golden State Tour. So it was a totally natural fit. And Corey's an amazing friend and a great bass player. So... it's all very natural. We just auditioned a piano player for a long time, didn't find him.
Really?
Oh, that was a bad joke.
No, they're all like, oh.
I'm sorry. That was English for we don't need to... Yeah. Unlucky.
Tumbleweed.
The good news is that I sing better than I make jokes, publicly.
help us understand, and you've done a fantastic job, you and your beautiful wife, of staying out of the paper for a long, long time. So I'm not trying to get too personal here, but help us understand what your life has been like for the last few years since you've been so public as to be out today. I mean, have you been a house husband? Have you taken up beekeeping? Have you traveled the world? What have you been doing with all this time since we last saw you?
We never stopped being in the studio. We never stopped making music and always been traveling. And in fact, there's quite a few people here in the audience will attest to all the different... Like, I love you guys and love your show, but you're in a specific lane. So
right.
As soon as we move out that lane, we're invisible to you guys. It's a bit like California drivers.
We're bad.
I'm getting better on stage, right? I'm getting better. Yeah, pulled it back in.
I like it.
So we've been really busy, never stopped making music. But, you know, to reach the upper echelons of show business, be on your show and on K-Rock, you know, it takes a lot of luck and charisma, which we've been... You don't think so?
No.
I disagree.
I know. We'll have anyone on.
We're in a different lane. What can I tell you? I'm trying to put it nicely. We've been other places, just not K-Rock.
Is anything you're doing in any way here slowing down the No Doubt album?
Oh.
I just wanted to... No. I got to get that out of the way.
No. I'm a helpful accelerator of that process.
Okay.
Because I tell you why. It's selfish. Because when they go out on tour, it makes my life easy. Because they go on tour without guilt. Otherwise, they go on tour with a bit of guilt.
I got you. But all right.
Have you ever noticed how I'm hogging the microphone? There's three other people here that...
Yeah.
And Robin usually never stops talking.
His mic's not even on. Hey.
Oh, that's just hurtful. That's just mean.
I'm not sure this will work. Oh, it does work.
There you go.
It is working. Would you like to counter to contradict everything he's just said, sir?
No, I would like to endorse everything he said.
Okay, all right.
As a true band member would.
That's your role. That's what you're supposed to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The band is Bush. It's the Bush Bash here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The new record that we are speaking about is called The Sea of Memories. It is out next Tuesday, September the 13th.
Hallelujah.
And I believe the boys are going to play live for us. How about that?
Head.
was my machine.
We are back. It's the band Bush, and they are back. How about that? Has it been 10 years? Has it been 10 years?
It's been a couple of summers, yeah. I don't like to count because I'm bad at it, but yeah. It's been a couple of summers.
I watch Burn Notice. That's one of my favorite shows.
Did Gavin ruin it?
All of a sudden, here's the bad guy, Gavin, and I'm like, hey, I know that guy. Tell us about your acting. You've been in some movies, some TV shows.
Yeah, I've done a few things like that. Whenever I do any movies, all the grips, people working behind the scenes are like, where's the band getting back together, man? What are you doing? So I always feel a bit of guilty doing that. But I enjoy it. I only get very small roles, so it's pretty convenient around the music stuff. And I like it. She, Gabrielle Anwar, who you know from that show, was a lot of fun to work with. She was great. And I think that I might go back and do some more. Because I didn't die, which is unusual for me in films. Normally, whenever I act, I get killed at the end.
What do you think the universe is telling you with that?
To just keep it short. Keep the roles at a minimum and get back to the studio.
Get back on stage.
Everybody's got the same opinion about it. You know? So it's cool. And I am on stage, literally, right now.
Yes. The album, as we mentioned, is called The Sea of Memories. I know sometimes songwriters don't like to give up too much about titles or inspiration, but I don't know, that title to me sounds like it sort of fits, kind of, especially after such a long time for Bush. Does that have something to do with it? Hey, it's been a long time, let's check back in with where we are.
Not so much about Bush, it's more about just looking back and realizing that everything that we do and every action and reaction is governed by our past and our history and the people around us that we've grown up with. And so in a weird way, we all exist on this sea of memories, and that's what shapes us. So I felt there's a universal concept.
How is it different writing songs for this album? I mean, you have a past, you have a history that you don't want to ignore. You also don't want to repeat yourself. How does that work? And with two new members?
Well, really, the weird thing is that when I did the Institute record and the solo record, and I worked heavily, closely with Chris down the end, who's the silent, mean, moody type down the end. He's not really. But
I think I saw Chris on Whisker Wars. I'm pretty sure I saw him on that show.
He won.
You're the bad boy of bearding. Congratulations.
And the thing is that, you know, for that stuff, we're always trying to work to keep it away from being Bush. And when in doing Bush, it's more like the least self-conscious that I can be, because it really is can just be who I am. And so ironically, most people, they go off and do a solo record and they say, this is the real me, stuff like that. That is like
stuff I wanted to do, but punchable. Couldn't do in the
band. Punchable. You want to punch someone, says that.
Sure.
And whereas when I'm in doing Bush, it really is back at home and very free. So I enjoy that. But I enjoy the other ones as well, but that's the difference.
What are the plans? I'm sure a lot of people listening, and certainly the people here, want to know. This is not a, hey, let's put out the record and, you know, do a couple of shows on TV and then go away. This is a commitment to, hey, we're back, and you've got a big plan, right?
This is serious, like, you know, probably at least a year, 18 months of touring, as long as people have us. And and really, it was essential that it wasn't about finding a way to play the older songs. It was like about having the new record standing up with the other songs and creating a nice, a good catalog. So it really is about really pushing it for now.
Since the last time you had a record out under the name Bush, social media has exploded. I'm wondering how much interaction you have with your fans online, either through the Facebook or your website or Twitter or anything like that. Do you read what they have to say to you? Do you write back? What do you do?
Of course, I'm terrified of them, especially these girls here.
You should be terrified of them.
They're very, very highly critical if we mess up in any kind of way or don't play what they want to hear. So, no, you have to be. I mean, at some point, I'm also a little bit wary of being over the top with it, like twittering the whole time, tweeting the whole time, so that you look. I feel it, you know, you don't want to seem like too much.
Being here, then? Cut back.
Oh, you tweet the whole time.
Not at all.
Cut back a little.
Not at all. I'm tweeting while I'm listening to you talk right now, if that's what you're asking. But no, I don't think it's too much. But
so I like to save it. Every few days I get out to. I had a Twitter attack today and was tweeting this morning. But we're into it. Robin especially tweets all the time. He can't get his fingers off the trigger.
Yeah, I'm a silent tweeter.
Silent tweeter.
People love the opportunity to communicate directly with people that they're fans of. I mean, it's a whole new world, really.
And we embrace that. We're certainly not stuck anywhere, but going right into the future.
All right, the band Bush is here. It's the Bush Bash on the Kevin Avizio at the beautiful Morongo Casino Resort and Spa.
I know it's about a million degrees out here like they do, but how about some more live music, ladies and gentlemen, from the band? What do you think?
Just let it fade. Who was there to take your place? No one knows, never will. Mostly me, mostly you. What do you say? Do you do? When it all comes down. Cause I don't wanna come back down like this cloud. Singing me all this time. Find out what I need. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cause I don't wanna come back down from this cloud. Singing me we'll be right back.
Thank you so much.